the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Any of you who might have seen President Donald Trump last night in his press conference, either live at the time or saw the clips afterwards, I suspect was astonished by the idea. It was always victim blaming, the idea that Ukraine was to blame for the fact that Russia had invaded it, that Russia is bombarding it, that so many Ukrainians have had to flee from the country, that it was somehow their fault rather than the aggressor, Russia. It's quite extraordinary at the moment just how partial Donald Trump is to Russia. And now, as we've seen over the last 24 hours, how he is telling lies about Zelensky in Ukraine, making up numbers about his popularity, making up things about how America allegedly has spent three times as much as Europe in the defence of Ukraine, which is completely untrue, when Europe has spent more than the United States of America. But that's something we may come back to at another stage. What we're going to talk about now is looking after the Ukrainians who are here in this country, the refugees in this country, and as to whether we are going to continue to be supportive of them. Because Emmeline Spollin, who is our first guest, is the National Coordinator of the Ukraine Civil Society Forum. At this stage, how many Ukrainians is it reckoned are living in Ireland, and where are they living?
The CSO latest figures came out today, and they estimate about 80,000 Ukrainians are still living in Ireland, and they're living everywhere across. I think there's probably not a village without a Ukrainian in it now, and that's been the case really since the beginning. People are everywhere.
How many of them are living with Irish hosts who are getting paid this €800 per month?
Yes, there's 36,000 people, you know, men, women, children, who are living with 19,000 hosts, who, and it's the host that receives the payment, which is known as ARP.
And are they living with them in their houses and apartments, or might they be living in what otherwise would be empty accommodation, which has been given to them in return for the state paying this €800?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because we don't have that data ourselves from the government. What we do know is from a Helping Irish Host survey of their hosts is that 60% are shared, as in they're living in the same house as their host. But we also know that a significant number of properties are you know, holiday homes, granny flats, you know, might be the basement of a house, so that they're kind of self-contained units. And we also have, again, from the Helping Irish Hosts, we know that, you know, again, the majority were not landlords and don't wish to be landlords. But clearly there are a few that are in that category.
And what's going to happen if that €800 contribution is removed, as has been suggested might happen at the end of this month? Will those people say to the Ukrainians that, well, we can't keep you any longer?
And that's the horrible position that some hosts are going to be in. And it's, you know, the government makes the change, but they're the ones who are going to have to sit at the kitchen table and have the hard conversation. And it's particularly hard when people know that there is, you know, very few rental properties that they can move to. So, people are in a very, very difficult situation. Now, obviously, not everybody is going to make people move out immediately. However, it does spell the end if that was the case. But I suppose what I would caution, I think it's unlikely the government is going to end the scheme as it is. They have indicated that they will extend it, but it is we don't know under what terms and whether that will impact on hosts and their ability to continue as hosts.
Matt Carty, Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson on Justice, Home Affairs and Migration. Do you want the government to extend this €800 per month tax-free payment?
Well, let me just make one point in relation to your opening remarks, and to be very clear, as I think most Irish people would accept, that there is one aggressor in terms of the war in Ukraine, and that is Vladimir Putin's Russia. And the Irish people have responded very compassionately and very quickly to the emergency situation that emerged in 2022. And one of the first initiatives that was taken at that time was for a payment. Of that time, it was €400 per month for Irish families who very commendably opened up their own homes to facilitate the accommodation of Ukrainian families who were fleeing from war. part of the reason why we're now in a much more difficult situation is that that scheme has been amended as part of an overall approach by the government to essentially incentivize those Ukrainians who have come here fleeing war into the private rental sector. And the difficulty, of course, is that our private rental sector is already dysfunctional and under huge pressure, and many people simply cannot find accommodation. And the difficulty has been that government amended the scheme, and in one of the amendments to that scheme, they have facilitated so that it isn't families hosting Ukrainians in a spare bedroom or in a granny flat or whatever the case may be. It is actually incentivizing landlords to make properties that would otherwise be available on the private rental sector available for people under the APR scheme. And as Emma has said, what that scheme means in essence is an €800 per month payment from government directly to the landlord, which isn't taxed. And when you consider that all other rental income is taxable, in many cases that's equivalent to €1,600 rent per month that a landlord is able to get.
Yeah, but how many cases does that actually happen in, Matt? I mean, do we have the numbers to tell us how many properties that otherwise would not be lived in are now being taken by these Ukrainian refugees, and the landlord gets the €800?
Unfortunately, as Emma has indicated, government haven't provided those figures. In the most recent occasion that I asked the parliamentary question, the minister has indicated that those figures will be made available to me, but I don't know when. What we do know is that the numbers of overall properties and recipients of this Ukrainian ARP payment has increased quite significantly. So in March 2023, there was about 5,000. Now that figure has reached, if not surpassed, 16,000. So there is evidence to suggest that this has moved very much away from people very generously opening up homes and using accommodation that wouldn't otherwise be used for another purpose.
Okay, but Matt, what's your position on the €800 per month? Because if that was to be removed, wouldn't it mean that there would be a lot more people actually out there trying to get the private rented accommodation that they would have to move from these houses in which they're living at present?
So let's be very clear. The scheme is due to expire on the 31st of March. Now, it has already been extended twice and usually expanded when it has come up for extension. What Sinn Féin are saying very clearly that there are a number of things that government should be doing now. And unfortunately, it's left to people like Emma to debate this with me, because government representatives aren't providing their own position. They're leaking stories and suggestive articles to newspapers as opposed to actually being upfront in terms of what their plans are, so that they could give both Ukrainians and recipients of ARP some certainty. But what we are saying is that certainly this scheme should not be available to new applicants in the private rental sector. There's also a need to revisit the 90-day rule for serviced accommodation, which is another essentially incentive, if not enforcement, of people into the private rental sector. And then we have to move from beyond having a situation where there is a tax-free benefit that isn't means-tested, applied to one set of people within the private rental sector that isn't available to others, because that's the inherent unfairness that is there. There could be somebody who isn't Ukrainian, but on the exact same income as a Ukrainian that perhaps they're working for, they cannot get the same accommodation support, and that is fundamentally unfair. And the second...
But sorry, Han, isn't there a requirement to do things, sort of special things for the Ukrainians because of the circumstances that they're refugees from the aggression of Russia?
There's a temporary protection directive that's agreed at an EU level. It's up to member states then to put in place the framework in which that applies. And there is nothing within that directive that says that one set of people who may be vulnerable should get more support than another set of people who could be just equally as vulnerable. And there is a particular issue as we are debating this now and as we come close to the expiry of the scheme as it currently stands, and that is the fact that Britain is currently revising all of the supports that are in place. So there is a fear that if we don't get this right, that we could see the pressures that were particularly on services perhaps this time last year re-emerge. So we need to have a starting point, and that is that whatever government doesn't put additional pressure on the private rental sector, because it is in crisis. And I think most of your listeners will quickly
Last one to you, Emma-Lane Spollen from the Ukraine Civil Society Forum. There have been changes made over the last year. Like in September, you had the situation where the welfare benefits available to Ukrainian refugees were reduced from the full job seekers rate of €232 to €38.80 per adult and €29.80 per child. And many of the contracts with the providers of residential accommodation were wound down. What have the Ukrainians in a lesser financial position as a result of changes by the state done? Have they gone home, or have they found jobs, and have they found other ways to actually make sure they can afford to stay in Ireland?
So the changes in welfare is only if you are living in serviced accommodation. So it affects about 27,000 people. The rest of people, if they need welfare, if they're not working, and there's, I think, 25,000 people are working. People are struggling. I mean, it is very, very grim. What can you say? I mean, what Matt's calling for would see more pressure on the private housing rental market. Actually, you know, this isn't a rent supplement. People have very consciously tried to keep people out of the rental market. But it does leave Ukrainians in absolute, they've no rights. They have no, within this accommodation, and they're very precarious. And there's relocations, 2,000 people being moved all the time, every single month. And then what you have, what's happening in Russia. So, in Ukraine with Trump and Russia. So there is great fear and anxiety. This is an extremely hard and emotional time. And we in Ireland in 2022, Micheál Martin opened up and Ireland had said, we will stand with you, Ukraine. We will stick with you for the long term. And this is now their hour of real need, right? And the one thing we can do is provide a safe haven. We can't solve all the other problems. And having shelter is probably one of the most basic things we can do. And I suppose we need to fix the ARP. I think anyone would disagree with that. We do need a plan for the medium term. We absolutely need that. And we need to be transitioning the Ukrainians from a temporary position to something which is more security, where they can get their jobs and stay in their jobs. Because the problem is they're being relocated around the country and employers don't know how long they're going to have a right to work here. So I just think we need to take more of a medium term plan, particularly now, given what's happening with America.
Thank you very much, Emmeline Spollen from the Ukraine Civil Society Forum and Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.